Hey gang, I see you there. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the home of free speech, and it's all in plain sight. Isn't it, Jeremy? Is it in plain sight?
It is. The truth is often hidden in plain sight. And I appreciate you joining me last night on the broadcast of In Plain Sight on RBN.
Yeah, it was last night for the listeners. It was just a few minutes ago for us. So we're doubling up on this. And so it's only on RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send shekels. And, you know, you had a caller last night, and he said that he does listen to other radio stations, but didn't he think RBN was the best? It's got the best programming. Didn't he say that?
It is the best.
Yep.
I agree.
It is. All right. It's got the best programs. So send shekels. Keep it alive. Also, you know what else is the best? The best app is the co-certified app, because it helps you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Ultimately, this is the type of thing we need to do. If you can't download the co-certified app and learn how to avoid kosher food, or avoid non-kosher food if that's your thing. But for me, avoiding kosher food, it makes a little more sense. If you're not able to download an app and do that, how are we going to be able to get together and do the important things we need to do, like avoiding kosher certified candidates, like avoiding kosher certified companies? There's a lot of companies that we really, really need to boycott. And the co-certified app is not a boycott app. It's a free choice app, but it's the type of thing that we need to get used to doing. And so that's why it's so important. All right. We've got a number of issues today. You do prep. I really appreciate the prep you do for these shows. So start us off. What's our first topic?
Well, we have riots in Philadelphia. Apparently a good boy was shot. He didn't do nothing, even though he had a knife, from what I can see.
What was he doing? Have you seen the video?
Yes, I watched the videos, and clearly this individual had a knife, and the police were justified in the shooting, but that doesn't matter in current year.
He was chasing around. It seemed like he was chasing people around, including cops. If not chasing, if chase is a little bit too strong, maybe he was pursuing people with a knife. He was coming at people holding a knife.
Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, Philadelphia has become the latest American city where rioting followed the fatal shooting of a black man by police. Demonstrators say that they want justice, but this week's mayhem won't achieve that. The circumstances surrounding Monday's shooting are complicated. Anthony Fitzhugh, a cousin of the deceased, told the Philadelphia Inquirer that a family member called for help because the 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr., who suffered from bipolar disorder, was having a mental episode. So this guy had some sort of a mental breakdown. He wielded a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And the police had to shoot him, right?
I will say that, you know, you do have, we've got a lot of bipolar and schizophrenic people, and I do sympathize, because there's a lot of them, and they're not all, as a matter of fact, you know who tends to get a lot of bipolar and schizophrenia, Jeremy?
When's that?
The Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I do sympathize, but still, if you're a police and you've got somebody coming at you with a knife and you're telling them to put down the knife, I mean, it's tough. It's hard to blame the police. And no matter what, the rioting is just not justified. It doesn't justify rioting and, running over a policeman and all of this. But continue.
Well, a Fox News article states that Walter Wallace, who was allegedly holding a knife, was fatally shot while two police officers were responding to a complaint about a man with a weapon in Cobbs Creek, according to the Associated Press. He advanced toward the officers, who then fired several times, the outlet reported. Wallace was hit in both the shoulder and chest and then taken to a police vehicle to the hospital where he died. Following Wallace's death, which was recorded and posted on social media, of course it was, hundreds of people, some armed with bricks, protested in the 52nd Street Commercial District, and the demonstration quickly turned violent. Police cars were and dumpsters were set on fire, and the NBC 10 Philadelphia reported that at least 30 police officers were hurt. So this is just sort of the new normal, right? A black guy does some sort of violence, resists arrest, attacks the police. He's shot, and then there's riots that ensue. This has been going on since May. Mm-hmm. I think people are numb to this.
And it had been going on sporadically since, what, 2012? With the hoodie thing. After the hoodie thing with, what was that guy's name? Trayvon Martin. Well, that was like, was that 2010 or 2012? There was that hoodie thing. But there weren't riots after that. I think were the first riots in Ferguson? Was that where you got this? And is that where Black Lives Matter really came from? Was Ferguson? Was that, what, 2014 or something with Michael Brown?
I think it was the hands up, don't shoot meme.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. And yeah. The blacks set on fire in Ferguson and attack their own black small business owners. So, you know, it makes me think that this whole BLM revolution that they're trying to meme, it's like they've tried it in the past and it didn't work. It didn't take. But finally, this year in 2020, it took. And now they're going with it. So there's many plans. There's many things that they want to push on us, many agendas, but it doesn't always work, and now they've found something that works since George Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Floyd being overdosing on drugs and having a heart attack. And, you know, the schizophrenic or the bipolar guy, if that's what they're calling him, I don't know hardly anything about him. By now, we know a lot about George Floyd, who really wasn't the most sympathetic person, right? I mean, he really had a pretty checkered past. But, you know, I still feel it's unfortunate that somebody had a heart attack, you know, a drug-induced heart attack. I think it's unfortunate the guy died. And if people want to say he was putting his life together and he had a job as a bouncer and a loss due to coronavirus shutdowns, then I'd say protest against the shutdowns. That's what I would say. Well, here's actually what I want to say, that what's happened, and I do think that, like, I totally sympathize with the family of a schizophrenic or, you know, mentally ill person who dies. I sympathize with the family, but the police, how can you blame the police if you've got a crazy person, literal crazy person going after them with a knife? You can't blame the police. And my question to you is, do you think it's more likely that, like, an environment that makes it more likely that police are going to wind up shooting, do you think having blacks effectively declared a unilateral war on cops? Because this is what you really have. You've got blacks who have been incited into this. This wasn't really their decision. They were kind of incited into it or manipulated into it. But blacks have effectively declared war on cops. The cops aren't really fighting back except when their backs are against the wall, like something like this. But do you think the overall tone, you know, of black war on cops, is that a contributing factor to what happened in Philadelphia today, or maybe it's completely irrelevant, but tell me what you think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, black criminals feel emboldened that if they're in this, they're clearly in the wrong. And if they're in a situation where they confront police, they feel emboldened to do so. Because if something goes down like this, then the media would take their side. And, you know, it gives the community an excuse to riot. There were many riots that happened after this young black man was killed. So the police say that they're investigating the shooting, but they did nothing about the riots. Nothing. I mean, the police in Philadelphia just stood by and let the riots happen.
Well, stood by and let them. And how many of them wound up in the hospital? Weren't 32 cops injured? One in like critical condition. I mean, didn't one get 57? I think it was a 57-year-old cop got run over in the style that they pretend James Fields did. I mean, James Fields was actually trying to run over anybody. He was just trying to get away while he's being surrounded and attacked. But I haven't seen the video. Have you seen the video of the cop getting run over? Because that seemed like a personal attack.
Yeah, I've seen it. And so just a continuing war on the police, getting the police defunded, discredited, and you got to wonder where this is going. You know, I think they want to see a society where police officers are non-existent, where they have their own police force in these cities. And well, so I think that's what was...
Who's they?
They would be the Jewish dominated elite,
and probably a very small section of the black population.
Right. I mean, the blacks are just being manipulated here, and you know, when a young black man is killed, he's obviously in the wrong. He's obviously being violent toward the police. The they here is the Jewish dominated media that want to paint this picture of blacks being persecuted by whites. The police are bad. The police need to be defunded and disbanded. Who replaces them? That's my question. Who will replace the police in this new normal that we're seeing all over the United States and in some cases all over the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you wonder really, I mean, I'd like to say how many blacks really support this. They certainly seem to have no trouble getting plenty of blacks out into the streets to riot. So there is at least a very significant minority of blacks who are going along with this, whether it's a majority or not. I'm not in a position to know, but it's a very significant sector. A lot have bought into it, and I would assume that there's a lot more who support it the same way that, white, largely female suburbanites do with the yard signs. So it's amazing, but we'll get back to this. Do we need to move on, or is there more to talk about with this?
Well, I mean, just to finish up, I mean, the looting happened, all of the looting and rioting, and the police didn't stop it. And why wouldn't you bother to ask, why did you shoot the man who was running around threatening with a knife?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's not the question here. The question is, didn't the police stop the rioting in Philadelphia that this murder spurred? So we're clearly in a situation where blacks feel emboldened to do whatever they want to do in response to what they feel is oppression from the white Christian majority of the United States.
So Philadelphia, who's the mayor now? I know they've got a really like, I don't think he's Jewish, but he's a really, is beta the right word? All I know about the mayor of Philadelphia, I'm going to look him up right now, but what I do remember is when they got to be a sanctuary city, when they when he got, I guess it was the city council to approve his proposal for sanctuary city, Philadelphia being a sanctuary city, that he was filmed dancing around his office with a somewhat embarrassed a female aide standing by, and he's just dancing around with this aide saying, "Sanctuary City, Sanctuary City." Did you see that? Tucker played it.
No, I missed that.
And then they've got this Jewish prosecutor, district attorney. Okay, yeah. So the mayor of Philadelphia is this James Kenney. So he's not Jewish, but he's the guy who did the dance. And he's like, is he effeminate? Is effeminate the right word? Maybe effeminate is the right word. I don't know if he's gay exactly. And then they've got this the DA who's got this Jewish name. What's his name? Let's see. And he's elected on George Soros money, and he's really big on letting people or not charging people with crimes. And you have had not like burning the bee itch down kind of riots, but what you have had a lot of, and this is something that Colin Flaherty was covering, and it wasn't getting national coverage at all outside Colin Flaherty, is you've just had a lot of I guess what do you call them, flash riots, where teenagers just all of a sudden appear in downtown in the business district, all of a sudden appear and robs, converge on a store and just rob it. It's not burning it down, but just all of a sudden a whole bunch like a flash mob appears here and there. Or going downtown and just harassing normal white or Asiatic workers downtown. There's been a lot of that, and there's also been around Temple University, which is one of the original places of this whole critical race theory. Temple University on the north side of Philadelphia. It's in a black neighborhood, and the black women. Black girls from the neighborhood attack white and Oriental girls, students from Temple University, just sucker punch them. And so there's been a lot of this going on for a long time. I don't know if, so this is kind of a continuation of it. Did you hear about any of this stuff? Did you ever watch Colin Flaherty's channel?
No, I haven't seen his channel yet. I know he's got some good stuff though.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Yeah, this district attorney. Let's see, his name is Krasner. Krasner, that's the name, Larry Krasner. And he's a hero in the Democratic Party. He's a hero on the left. But the crime in Philadelphia is going out of control. And so if you have this what was the guy's name, Keeley or Keeney, the mayor, who's in charge of the police. He's telling the police to hold back, and the police know that if they arrest Kenny's the mayor, if they arrest anybody, this Rasner's just going to let them out. What's the point? And you think back 40 or 50 years ago, you had this mayor Frank Rizzo, who was really tough on crime. You had this mayor Wilson Good, who literally firebombed a row houses that were occupied by this Back to Africa Black Nationalist movement. So I guess the times are changing. But we are coming up on the break. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
are back. So the next topic, Jeremy, what's the next topic?
Well, Lord Fauci, who is the Sultan of the Witch Doctors, has said that he would be totally for having a federal law forcing everyone to wear a mask.
Because, of course.
Now, of course he would. Because Fauci is the end-all expert on coronavirus and the lockdowns and the mask wearings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, according to CNN, Dr. Anthony Fauci has been reluctant to support a federal mask mandate. A national mandate would probably not work, he said on September 15th during a news conference with Vermont Governor Phil Scott. Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He said that he has been urging Americans to use the mask for months. Quoting Fauci, he said, "I have trust in the American people that if we put a strong emphasis on the importance of wearing masks, that we will come around, and do that and get the percentage up above the relatively low percentage of people that are using masks," Fauci said on NPR's Morning Edition on July 21st. But he has said in the past that he does not think a federal law would be the way to go. But he has changed direction on this. Fauci said that, well, if people are not wearing masks, then maybe we should mandate it, he told CNN's Aaron Burnett on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Fauci's coming out and saying that he is in favor of a national mask mandate. So, who is this guy and why is he presented as an expert? You know, well, President Trump is pretty
keep going. Appointed
Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trump has appointed Atlas as his medical advisor on this supposed pandemic. So why is Fauci still getting any kind of media?
Well, he gets media. I mean, isn't it kind of like this self-fulfilling prophecy or this this vicious circle? He gets all this positive media, and that gives him a high approval rating, and then Trump can't fire him, and he's still there, and then he's still around for the media to interview him. Is his head on the chopping block as soon as this election's over?
Well, I think that it is, and you know, with Trump getting Atlas in there, you know, Fauci has already been outed. He's already been pushed out of the inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is not inviting him to the coronavirus briefing. So, you know, I think that Fauci is trying to, you know, whoever's pushing Fauci to push whatever agenda, you know, Fauci feels emboldened to go to the media and just go around the White House and say, well, you know, this is what I say, and I'm an authority on this. So, you know, that's what I see is going on here. Fauci was an authority since the 1980s on the AIDS pandemic, too.
Yeah, well, I want to hear about that, but there's something I want to say before we get into the background of Fauci. Regarding the masks, I mean, these lockdowns have gone on way too far. I heard on Dr. Duke's show Tuesday morning, he had on Andy Hitchcock, and Andy Hitchcock was talking about these bubbles they have in Britain. He has to choose between being able to go to his mother's house or his girlfriend's house. He can't go to both, and he can't have his girlfriend over at his house. That's how far it's gone in Britain, where they're actually saying you can only go to one other person's house. And you have to choose. And this is insane. And we're not that far yet, but we've got to stop it. And this is my idea. I had this idea, and tell me if you think it's good. I think we should have white riots, and we should call them white riots. Well, what is a white riot? I say a white riot is getting a group of white people together, and, you know, other people can come too. And going into a store, your Home Depot or Walmart or Target or, you know, like a small grocery store, whatever. Bunch of white people going without masks. and you pick a place that requires masks, and you go in without masks, and presumably they're going to ask you to leave. And what I think people should do is they should mill around when they start being pressured to leave because they refuse to put on the mask, and when they're asked to leave, when you go in, you pick up an item, okay, and bring cash. Bring cash. You pick up an item, you know, your candy bar or a socket wrench or whatever. You pick up an item and you say, okay, I will leave, but I have to pay for my item first. And you insist on paying for your item. I'll leave, but I have to pay for this first. And so you insist on getting in line and paying for it. Now, if they call the cops, and if they're not going to check you out and they call the cops, the people who don't want to get arrested, they can maybe leave their item with somebody who's willing to get arrested and the cash, right? Hopefully would have, you know, and if, you know, if nobody wanted to get arrested, okay, you go to the next store. But I think this would be great to have what's a white riot? A white riot is white people going into a store without a mask and insisting on paying for something with cash. So we're up on the break, but I want to hear your response to this. I'm ready to go. みんな集まれペンギン村にどんなことが起こるかなそれゆけいちししお楽しみ
Thank you.
We are back. So I just presented my idea for White Riots. What do you think of White Riots?
I'm totally down with it, but you know, we have White Riots going on in the form of Trump rallies. He did 3 rallies in Pennsylvania just maybe last week. And something that the mainstream media points out in these Trump rallies is that very few people are wearing masks. Isn't a Trump rally sort of a coronavirus lockdown anti-mask protest? I mean, a bunch of white people normally get together, which means they're not social distancing. They don't care about that. The majority of them are not wearing masks. Isn't this sort of a way for the people to protest the coronavirus lockdowns, feel patriotic, and be protected? I mean, yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
It is. If you have a Trump rally coming your way, it's great. I think these going to, and I think probably the big chain stores, the Home Depot, Target, Walmart, these are the places, I think, because you don't have to wait for President Trump to come. And this is something that a relatively small number, you know, you get a dozen people even, but going in, walking around and just insisting enough to make it, you know, maybe hopefully newsworthy. Just go in and insist on paying for an item before you leave. I don't know. I think it's a good idea. We'll get some feedback from people. But what about this, unless you have more to say about the white riots, what about this Fauci guy? What rock did he crawl out from under?
Well, you know, the AIDS epidemic, well, supposed epidemic in the 1980s, I mean, he was in charge of the NIH during this time. I pulled up a very interesting article from 1982, May 11, 1982, in the New York Times. It's entitled, "New Homosexual Disorder Worries Health Officials." And just browsing through the article, it says that a serious disorder of the immune system that has been known to doctors for less than a year, a disorder that appears to affect primarily male homosexuals, has now afflicted at least 335 people, of whom it has killed 136, according to the officials of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta said yesterday. Federal health officials are concerned that tens of thousands more homosexual men may be silently affected and therefore vulnerable to potentially grave ailments. Let me just nutshell this article. You know, back when AIDS first came out, it was called GRIDS. It was gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. And it was very well known that the practice of sodomy, which tore the tissue in the rectum, and you know, when the individual eliminated waste, they would get infections. The infections would compromise their immune systems, and they would be susceptible to death, you know, for things that we would brush off. You know, they could die of the common cold or pneumonia. And so the answer to this should have been, well, stop practicing your homosexual sex acts.
Isn't that what Fauci did? Didn't he cure or prevent AIDS by doing social distancing of the rectum? Didn't he do that? And that's why we don't have AIDS anymore?
No, actually, he worked with pharmaceuticals and he made a lot of money by getting drugs that just treated the AIDS patients and prolonged their lives. Never at any point was there an effort to tell these homosexuals to stop doing sodomy and stop sharing needles. Those were the two main ways that AIDS were shared. But instead, they made a big deal of this. And throughout the 80s, AIDS was pushed in the media, just like coronavirus is pushed today. I mean, you know, by 1988, you know, I was 12, and they had us scared to death. They had us thinking you could get AIDS by sharing a drink with someone or shaking hands with them.
I remember I knew a gay person, and we worked together and would he was actually married to a woman at the time. He hadn't practiced gayness for many years, so maybe he was still pretty flaming. And my girlfriend at the time insisted that I don't share a razor with him. I was like, we're sitting at a lunch table. I don't see how we would share a razor. But yeah, that's what people were thinking, that you could catch AIDS that easily.
They really hyped it. And, you know, they had people thinking that just really, you know, normal vaginal intercourse did not spread AIDS. It was the homosexual act that spreads AIDS. And of course, the sharing of needles. And so homosexuals did do a lot of drugs. There's a lot of heroin. And it was very evident, if you read this 1982 New York Times article, you know, that it affected the homosexual community. But by the end of the 80s, they made everybody think that just anybody could get it. But in the meantime, Fauci was getting a lot of money from pharmaceutical companies for drugs that treated AIDS. And the fear mongering was, you know, propagandized, and they had us all scared to death. But really, it wasn't something to be afraid of. If you weren't gay and you weren't, doing needles, then it wasn't something that you had to worry about. And I see a lot of similarities to today, that the way that they've used the media to propagandize the coronavirus. And, you know, do we have a vaccine for AIDS? No, it's still around. And there's many people that are infected with it. So I see a trend here. I mean, I see this coming back. And Fauci is just he's a fraud. He's a witch doctor. And just like he was hoaxing the AIDS epidemic back in the day, he's hoaxing the coronavirus today. You remember those days. What about the 80s? Tell us a little bit about that.
I do remember. And, you know, it was a big deal. Well, okay. So I remember, I guess it was like 1982, was it 1982, 1983, starting to hear about it. And it was gays and junkies and hemophiliacs, because they were getting blood transfusions, and Haitians. And there was some joke going around the gay community that the hardest thing about AIDS was trying to convince your parents that you're Haitian. Because you don't want to tell them that you're gay. You don't want to tell them you're on drugs. So that was the joke. There were a lot of Haitians, but it was kind of, I don't know. There was certainly a lot of sympathy, and, you know, there was a lot of money for AIDS research. That was the big thing. This was before gay marriage. It was like the big gay agenda was getting money for AIDS research. And where did that go to, that money for AIDS research?
Well, I mean, you know, this is another article I pulled up about this, is that, in 1982, the National Institute of Health identified associated HIV/AIDS funding. In May 1983, Congress passed the first bill with specific funding for AIDS research and treatment across the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It says that the NIAID conducted most of the NIH's early HIV/AIDS research. By 1985, the NIAID was the lead NIH institute sponsoring HIV/AIDS research. You know, a congressional bill was passed to do research into this, when all you really had to do was say, just abstain from needles and stop doing homosexual acts. And that's what I'm reading.
Which, I mean, is probably easier said than done, but the fact of the matter is, it wasn't even said. They started talking about safe sex and condoms and whatnot. There really wasn't a push into behavior modification other than condoms. You know, they weren't saying stop doing gay sex. there was used condoms. You know something that's gross? And this is walking around with my dogs on trails, and there's this one particular area we have to pass through that I guess at certain times of the day or certain times of the week is frequented by a certain people with certain predilections. And you walk around and you see hypodermic needles and you see condoms and other things that I don't even know what they are. And the thing is, the, you know, a lot of, especially city governments, are so celebratory of their LGBTQRS population. Everything but N. You know what N stands for, don't you?
N?
Yeah.
No, what is that?
If they were
normal.
Yeah, and they're not inclusive because they'll never put N in there. But, you know, these city councils are so supportive of their gay populations, but yet they're enabling. It's not just they're turning the blind eye. They're enabling this very self-destructive behavior. You know, if they're hearing about needles and condoms and if they're aware that there's like this kind of promiscuous gay sex going on anonymously in their parks, they should shut it down. But they're not allowed to shut it down. Or to the, you know, if there's a proposal to shut it down, then the gay groups come out and say, no, this is, you know, this is our culture or whatever, this is homophobia. But I guarantee a lot more people, a lot more young people are dying from whether it's AIDS or whether it's other gay-related diseases. There are a lot more young people are dying from gay sex than from the coronavirus.
Well, I've got an article on the Journal of American Medical Association. And it's got some stats in here on a large scale, a set of 27 diseases. Let's see. I'm reading through. In 2012, cancer accounted for $5.6 billion of the total NIH funding. HIV/AIDS accounted for $3.1 billion. And diabetes accounted for $1.1 billion. But yet, 1.2 million people in the U.S., as of this study, had HIV/AIDS, and 13.4 million people alive with a history of cancer. You compare that to 29 million people living with diabetes. So you got those numbers, and then they've got another chart focusing on medical research spending. Let me pull this up here. And according to the chart, for medical research spending, $2,500 per person spending on people with HIV/AIDS, about $4,000 per person with cancer, and less than $1,500 per person with diabetes. So even though people with diabetes way outweigh even cancer and HIV, there's less spent on them per person. Mm. HIV/AIDS, you had more spent per person, according to this article by the JAMA. So, an inordinate amount of money spent per person on those people with AIDS than those people with diabetes, even though people with diabetes make up way more, there's way more people with diabetes than there are with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
I read off a lot of statistics, though. I mean, did that make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, that the AIDS, that medical spending is being concentrated on the AIDS research, and it has been for such a long time. There are people who just, and I think it's a misfortune, certainly a misfortune, but there's certain people who are just born that way. And I think it's very unfortunate for them. But there's absolutely no reason why, and maybe people, maybe some sort of accommodations should be made for them, whatever, because it's unfortunate, but maybe you've met somebody and that's just who they are, and there's nothing that can be done about it. But there's so much promotion of it and celebration. The whole idea of pride parades. I mean, would you have a diabetics pride parade? Would you have a, cystic fibrosis pride parade? I mean, if these are things that people can't help, and they're misfortunes, and they're bad for your life expectancy, and the same with gayness. And it's not something to be celebrated, if you need to make some accommodations, but it's promoted. And then there's this bisexual thing. And when I was a kid, I had a friend. He was a couple years older, but he was a decent guy, lived in the neighborhood, he'd play in our football games or softball games or whatever. And it seemed completely normal. My brother knew him. He moved out to California. And then when my brother was out in California, found out that he was bisexual and going to orgies. And I don't need, is bisexual really a thing? I mean, aren't we supposed to be monogamous when you get down to it? And if you have to choose when you're monogamous, shouldn't you be able to just choose and, I don't know. Am I making any sense at all? But the moral of the story is that Phil got AIDS and died.
No, I think you're either heterosexual or you're gay. Bisexual, you're just homosexual.
Or you're heterosexual, but you're just being fashionable. And I think a lot of I knew people who weren't gay when they were teenagers, and they weren't gay when they were adults, but when they went to college, experimented. And why should people experiment? Why should you need to experiment?
I don't know.
And I'm getting grossed out. So
ゴーゴーゴー、ホワイトボディマッハゴー、負けじと足親譲り、走 走り出したら後には引ける行くぞ勝利のゴールまでマッハゴーゴーマッハゴーゴーマッハゴーゴーゴエンジンみなぎる闘志負けてたまるかゴーゴーゴースーパーバトルマッハゴー行くぞ我が道どこまでもシフトチェンジ力がこもるレッドゾーンで突き抜けろマッハゴーゴーマッハゴーゴーマッハゴーゴーゴー
finish this up. Where are we going?
Well, I mean, we discovered in that last article that even though way more people have diabetes than AIDS, there's very less spent per person on diabetes research than there are AIDS. There are some things that they just don't want you to talk about. And according to Norman Finkelstein, he says that if they push you to not talk about the Holocaust, it just makes the argument stronger. And this is an article I put up from Daily Stormal. What do you know about Norman Finkelstein?
I like Norman Finkelstein. He is a Chomskyite. And, you know, when I filled in for Farron Schoaf for the alternative media back in 2016, my very first guest on there was an old professor named James Petras. And James Petras, I guess, had been Norman Finkelstein's dissertation advisor. He was his former professor. And James Petras is very, very, he's a leftist, but he's very, very open about Jewish power. And I guess what's his term for it? The Jewish power configuration or something like that. Zionist power configuration. At any rate, I saw once a debate between Petras and Finkelstein. And you see, the thing is, Finkelstein, he's written these books on the Holocaust industry and how the Holocaust industry is a shakedown, and they're you know, using this whole Holocaust business in order to enrich themselves. But he's, at the end of the day, he's a Chomskyite, and you know, because he's also very, very critical of Israel. But at the end of the day, he's a Chomskyite, and Israel is a tool of American imperial power. And you know, there was this debate where Petras was really putting him in his place, you know, proving that, no, it's American foreign policy is run by Jews for Israel. It's not Israel as a tool of American power. So Norman Finkelstein does a lot of good work. At the end of the day, he is a Chomskyite, but that doesn't nullify the good research he does on the Holocaust industry and the shakedown and all of this. And the last thing, I once saw a documentary on him, and they had some, because he got fired. He was working for Loyola University in Chicago, and he got fired. Alan Dershowitz went after him, and he wound up getting him fired. And so then this film crew was doing a documentary on him, and they followed him back to Brooklyn, and they were following him like up the stairs into his apartment. And finally, he just got tired of the guy and says, oh, it's always the Holocaust this, the Holocaust that. That's all I ever heard growing up. And then he just started doing Roman salutes, Nazi salutes at the guy, and went into his apartment. So he can be pretty based. Any final nice thoughts before we wrap it up?
Yeah, this Jewish Chronicle article in which Norman Finkelstein is, which they highlight him, he's basically saying, if you tell people to quit talking about the Holocaust and you ban it, it's going to make them talk about it more. And if that's not the right approach if you want to get people to stop questioning the Holocaust. And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. No, he's not wrong. Yeah, I think he accepts a 5.1 million figure that was, what's the guy's name? Raoul Hildeberg came up with. I think he accepts that. I don't know what he thinks about the gas chambers or anything, but he certainly thinks that it's being used as a big shakedown and to manipulate people. But thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick.
And?
Stay classy, RB.
We can still stay classy even though you have your own show. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of Classy Music Radio.